Howdy, folks. Happy Friday. And this is a special Friday for we are no longer orphans. We habemus papam. We have a pope. So, yes, great celebration in the church. The basilica bells were ringing here for like half an hour straight, mainly because Brother Jose turned them on and then walked away. But that's I think that's fitting, honestly. Welcome everyone to All Good in the Brotherhood podcast. I'm Brother Francisco, and joining me is my older brother, Tom Whitaker, hailing from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to talk today about, our new pope. We are not going to claim that we know a whole lot because I didn't know him at all. And anyone who thinks that they know him, if you're not like, you know, another cardinal, like, yeah, maybe we'll see. So anyways, but just some like initial reaction. So, I think it's really cool. I've, you know, heard stories, people talking about when different great moments in history happened, like what they were doing, whatever. So what were you doing, when you heard that there was white smoke, or were you monitoring the TV, or like, did the kids understand what was going on, or?
Yeah. So this actually, it's great. So I was picking up Philip from his school. He goes to a Montessori school here out in, actually the school is in Steubenville. So I was picking him up, and you know, our sister texts us, Habemus Papam, and I was super stoked. We're only 10 minutes away. I'm like, great. We're heading back. So we drove back quickly, turned on EWTN, and then just sat there for our lunch. And it was kind of amazing watching Philip. I mean, Gemma was pretty interested too, but Philip just sat there staring. He was just enthralled. And you know, he's a four-year-old little buddy, so it takes a little bit to get a four-year-old little boy to sit down for anything, let alone like kind of just continued crowds of cheering and like panning across.
It was a long time
But it was great. You know, it was this global watch party for you know, the who's our new papa. And yeah, Philip was excited, and we just all sat there for, I guess it was probably about 45 minutes or so before we got to see the new pope. But it was pretty exciting. It was occurred over my, you know, work lunch break, if you will. So there I had no qualms just sitting there. I messaged my team like, hey, I'm not getting back on to anytime soon. So it was awesome. And it was just so exciting because, you know, like at least a couple of the recent popes, you know, their faces have been, you know, they first shown, if you will, in like the nighttime, like it's still night at St. Peter's Basilica. But it was just so beautiful. It just looked like spring there. You know, just like that refreshing, oh man, this is exciting. This is like a new day, you know, for the church. And it is a new day for the church. So yeah, that's where we were at, was just run of the mill family moment at lunchtime, but it was still pretty amazing. So yeah, what about you, brother?
I was in the refectory in the monastery having lunch, just talking to a couple of the guys, and all of a sudden like a mass exodus. All of a sudden, like, the entire community just stands up and just rushes out. And I'm not super paying attention because I was talking about stuff with Father Romwald, and then Father Ed, the rector of the seminary, comes up and he said, white smoke. And we're all like, okay, we're done, you know. And then we all run to, in the monastery, we have a lounge, like a, it can hold probably like 25 people or so, like with seats. And there's more you can cram in there. That has our communal TV. And I have never seen that many monks in that room ever. I mean, they crammed in there. It was pretty cool. Yeah, we just all like packed in there, ready to go. But I was supposed to go on a walk. So tomorrow is graduation for the college students here. And I'd really try to devote like my last 2 weeks to seniors, you know, being available to them and walking with them, whatever. So I was going to go on a walk with one of them, and we scheduled it for 12:30. Well, you know, that's when all this is going on. So I texted her and I just said, you got to give me a couple extra minutes. And then eventually, like, you know what? I could just pull it up on my phone, just like the live stream, and she'd be a great person to like react to it with, anyways. Yeah. So eventually, I was in there, and all the monks. It was a lot of fun. There was such a spirit, and everyone's so excited. So then, went on a walk, and we walked for like a while before I just had the volume up on my phone, and then we heard the roar of the crowd. It was funny though. The cardinal who announced him, they announce it in Italian, so you have to like figure that out. I understood that he said his name was Leo the 14th, but then he said Robert something, and I thought his name last name started with an M, so I told Sarah like, oh, check that out. Well, there is a cardinal like Roberto or Robert, like Mambetti or something. That's a cardinal from France. He was likely a contender. Hi, Phil. You joined us. We got a little man with us now. Woke up. You should be in bed, little
Yeah, I'm
man.
supposed to be in bed.
But yeah, so we looked and I'm like, oh. And so then we started looking up stuff, and a lot of news articles had already reported on this French cardinal that, like,
Yeah.
oh, he's a very likely guy, whatever. So, and then we started looking stuff up, and I was getting really excited actually, the stuff we were finding. And then a friend of mine, I texted a group message between two friends that we, because we were all like really in anticipation for the Pope. And I texted, like, yeah, we have a Pope. And then my friend texted back and says, yeah, and an American, no less. I was like, what? No, he's French. And then the newscast we listened to says, we are confirmed we have the first American Pope. I'm like, oh, well, missed that. Got that wrong. And then we saw it was Cardinal, I want to get his name right. I have it pulled up here. Cardinal Robert Prevost. Hope that's how his name is pronounced. Pope Leo the 14th, which if I had put a bet down, that is what I wanted the name of the new pope to be. Someone asked me like, oh, what do you hope? I was like, I hope it's a Leo, because I love Leo the 14th, or Leo the 13th. Well, we love Leo the 14th now for sure, but I
Yeah.
love Leo the 13th. And I was like, if he takes on any kind of identity like him, I think we're gonna have a great pope. So yeah, that's where I was. So what do you think about the fact that they elected an American?
Yeah, I think so. I have a lot of thoughts on that, but one thing I will say that was, I think a lot of people will have conjecture about why an American Pope, and one thing before I even give my two cents, I'll just say, I think now is probably, I mean, we're gonna have opinions. That's okay. Like we're humans, we generate our own thoughts, and that's a good thing. Like we're capable of looking at developments in the world and the church and having an opinion about it, having a belief and a feeling about these things. And so I think that there's already floating out there quite a few about,
Oh yeah.
this American Pope, this man as the Pope as well. So I'd make a general call to anybody, myself included, that before we start making detailed analyses into what they've said, what they've written, what they tweeted, what they posted, whatever, groups that they've been part of, et cetera, before we get too far into a world where we make many, many assumptions about what that's going to mean for this papacy, let's pray for him. And it seems a cliche, but it's
It's
just so
true.
easy to assume that every new political or influential figure is a political figure. And he's going to be
That's
very influential,
that's
but that
important.
doesn't necessarily mean he is a political figure. So anyway, but an American Pope, I'm very excited about this because I think that I think the only thing that could have made me happier than an American Pope, I should say, the only thing could have made me about as happy as an American Pope would have been an African Pope,
Yeah, I agree.
because I believe right now that the church in this country, in a lot of the West in general, but the church in this country is experiencing such an era of struggle to kind of stay rooted in society, because there are elements within society that have been trying to weaken it, maybe actually eradicate it. And then even the church itself has just sort of struggled to find depth, I think, in many places. And there's some exceptions to that. We live close to Steubenville, which is definitely a place filled with many
Revival.
exceptions to that, many, yeah, a revival of sorts. But much of the country is not that way. Much of the country is in that desert, that spiritual desert. So I think, in the case of, we were sitting around talking about, like, oh, how awesome that would be to have an African Pope, is that I feel that we are the land that needs missionaries. Now we're the land that needs,
Yeah.
those coming here to show us fire, to show us passionate belief, and to show us willingness to sacrifice. We're thankfully not really experiencing, a struggle of, say, like physical martyrdom in this country. But I think that there's a spiritual martyrdom that's definitely been occurring, and that you can, in many cases, experience soft martyrdom, white martyrdom, in the workplace, in your friend groups, in your communities, just by simply deciding that you stand with the church on, say, certain beliefs, or
Well,
just
an
not.
example of that is, I don't know if you heard about this, but I think it was yesterday or the day before, the state of Washington just officially like put into law. Now they're trying to completely rule against the seal of confession. So that they have decreed that now by law they can demand, they can try, to demand that priests disclose content of confession for those who are accused of like being predators for children. And I mean, that directly violates the seal of confession, which is understood like in every law in the country. Like that is like given, there's a special exception actually written into the law for the confession. But they're pulling it. Australia did that a few months ago, and a lot of priests have been imprisoned as a result. But now they're trying to say that priests have to be responsible if their like testimony could implicate someone based on a confession. And there are few things that have such strong language in canon law as the seal of confession. To the point that says priests should expect even to or should hold the seal of confession even to the shedding of their own blood and expect nothing less. Like there is no exceptions. So and they're the fourth state, as far as I know, that's been trying to pull that. Mostly they're those wonderful West states that we don't necessarily love all of their decisions. We love their people. But yeah, so that example is, as the states or as people continue to try or are seeming to continue to rise against the church, that we have a symbol and a person in the Pope who is one of us. I mean, he's one of us in the church, regardless of where he came from. But that we, especially Americans, can like look to. This is like, you get it, you understand. I mean, no country is free of its toxicity in the political realm, but there is a special divide going on in our country, and like that he can stand as kind of saying like, I'm not there to pick a side. I'm there to lead the church, and that is what Catholics need to do too. It's like, we're not here to like say, I am a this is something I was like really strongly like talking to someone recently about. But like someone says like, I am a like conservative and then Catholic, or say I'm a liberal and then Catholic, right? Or I'm a Republican, a Catholic, Democrat, Catholic, whatever you put yourself in, you name your political party before you name your faith. And that is so problematic. And trying to push that on the Pope too. Is he a conservative? Is he a liberal? Da, 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 da. He is the Pope. And people often will like, if I say those things, it sounds moderate or whatever, they often kind of lump that into oh, well, then you're a liberal. That's a liberal mindset, right? I'm not coming from that. I'm coming from the point there. We need unity. And that's the whole point. That's what Christ says. I came that they might be one. So I people. We could make conjecture as why they chose an American pope, but ultimately, God did. The Holy Spirit. If we truly believe in the process of the conclave and truly believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the cardinals were praying and docile to his movements, and that the church in preparation was praying for them, that the Holy Spirit is the one that really guided the votes. So that this is what God desires. And for the American church specifically, for the church universal. So yeah, I just think that's and the student that Sarah I was walking with, when I was asking her, like, oh, what do you think about an American Pope? She said, well, you know, I think the Eucharistic revival has begun to really change the face of the American church. And this seems to be maybe a fruit of that. And I really like that. I can see that to be really true. I mean, this is where we had the Eucharistic Congress in America.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And yeah, I think that gives, like, focusing on that gives a lot of hope to, the idea that this Pope will be a part of that at a global level, and the Eucharistic Congress was at a global, but I think we know that a lot of the folks that traveled to that probably were able to travel to that as an event, and all that came with that, probably largely local, local to the United States at least. It's a bit to travel. Sorry, buddy.
Did you get those medals from a marathon?
That's correct. Those are our marathon team medals over there. But yeah, so we just so much to be excited about. And I think that's a great point from Sarah. And I know, I believe it not only is hopefully indicative of that revival, but hopefully it's going to become an incredible force of energy for that revival. Because I think, and I agree with what you're saying there, we should say defining ourselves as Catholic should be sufficient, because, and it, the tragedy is that it isn't, because Catholics are in disunity, and there are many Catholics that hold beliefs that have a political implication and a social implication that are inconsistent with church teaching. But the, like you said, the political affiliation should not be the qualifier for your Catholicism. Being a Catholic should be the period. It should be, I am Catholic, period. And that should contain all that it contains to belong within the church. So a pope that could push that in an era when, yes, this, like you said, we're so divided in this country, in the United States, and so much of it's boiled down to political boundaries and political statements and political parties. It would just be really refreshing to revitalize the church with Catholicism, which would be kind of ironic because it is the Catholic Church, and you'd think that's what we should be focused on, but it hasn't really been the case, in some ways. So yeah, I think that would be really awesome. And we're, you mentioned earlier kind of at a turning point in history in a way. We are, like in the way that John Paul II was such a crusader, and this is, there's political impact. That's one thing we can't get around. The fact is the political impacts of the papacy and how he was such a crusader with Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan,
Against communism.
against communism, against Soviet Russia. And just like the incredible impacts of, the power, the powerhouse, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Triangle that helped really bring an end to the Soviet Russia. We're in its own era where there are going to be some incredible geopolitical challenges, whether it's China, and the encroachment of China, economically and socially on the rest of the world, artificial intelligence, what AI is going to do, and how transformative that's going to be to the geopolitical landscape. So I think there's a way that an American Pope could serve as a very, very influential and powerful figure, against some of these existential threats. Again, and they're not just American threats. They are global in nature, but the United States sits in a very key position for many of these political and geopolitical events. So just recognizing that the Pope will have the ability to influence a lot of that. And I think that's very exciting. Again, St. John Paul the Great, just such an incredible image of, helping save Western civilization, helping save Europe, Soviet states, et cetera. And not through being a political player, not being a chessman, but by just bringing that message of love, to his flock. And that's what we need again. is that message of love to, and it sounds like a generic statement, but
Well,
love
no, and that,
informative,
that speaks actually directly to something that Pope Leo said at his opening address from the balcony. So I have his transcript pulled up, and he says a lot of things that are just really awesome. And his opening line, I think, is just super great. He says, "Peace be with you. This is the peace of the risen Christ, an unarmed peace and a disarming peace, humble and persevering. It comes from God, God who loves us all unconditionally." And just that combo of words, an unarmed peace and a disarming peace. Because, and actually, I mean, he's already, I love this, he's already following up upon Leo XIII, who wrote like a ton on what true peace in the world looks like. Not this, a lack of war or a creation of some state, but rather the peace of God, which, as St. Paul says, surpasses all understanding. And so that combo of an unarmed peace, so God is not coming with like weapons of war, he's not coming with vindiction, he's not coming, to use his power to undo us, and that creates peace. And yet it is also a disarming peace. So that which has no weapons still lets us drop our weapons. Like that is, love that. That's such
Yeah,
a great
that's
symbol.
true.
And where are we all right now? We're like, we're everyone is like fist clenched, like ready to punch the next person. Like if you disagree with me, or in the, well, to quote a Switchfoot song, like suspicion is the new religion. Everyone is suspicious of we name a new pope, everyone's suspicious about him. This person says this. This person's elected here. This person is installed the pastor here. This person's the new president of this. Whatever it is, suspicion. Suspicion is rampant. Like that's our. There's no peace when we're suspicious of other people. Like there's just none. So I just yeah I love that. And then later, he says, "Therefore, without fear, united hand in hand with God and among ourselves, we move forward. We are disciples of Christ. Christ himself precedes us. The world needs his light. Humanity needs him as the bridge to allow it to be reached by God and by his love. We are therefore to be missionaries." And he himself was a missionary actually in Peru, and then became a cardinal. Or a bishop of a diocese in Peru for 20 years, so he has a missionary heart, which to me like that is 100%. And he's from well the canons, the Augustinians, so he's got a religious order too he's a part of, so that I love that. But yeah, mission especially, yeah, like you said, like bringing the love, like that's. That is the mission. The mission has never changed, and the mission isn't going to change. So, yeah, that's my thought on some of that. Philip, what do you think about us having a new pope? How did you feel about it?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. You excited? Yeah. What do you think about his name? Do you like the name Leo? Pretty cool, huh?
Do you know what Leo means, Philip? What does it mean, Uncle Sam?
Means lion.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what we should be praying for Pope Leo is that he's a lion in this world, because we need lions. Who better to be the lion than the Vicar of Christ on earth, the Lion of Judah.
The line of Judah is and the Lion of Judah is also the Lamb of God, or Christ, the Lion of Judah, Lamb of God, the one and the same. So, a lion from the pulpit and a lamb in confessional, like that's what the goal of the priesthood should be. And I mean, the goal of the papacy in a way too, right? Like proclaiming truth from that balcony. But yeah, when he's among the people, right, as a missionary, like nothing but fatherly love. And that's why I love when people just start shouting, like, Papa, Papa, right? Daddy, basically, is what they're saying, like, Dad. And yeah, I think the energy, I hope, but the energy when he comes and visits America, like when he comes to visit the United States, I'm hoping that that's just going to floor people. Like, you know, when the Pope comes anywhere, you know, people come out in droves, but Pope coming back to the United States, like that, I don't know. Pope Francis never got back to Argentina, poor guy. So hopefully, hopefully it gets back here. but yeah, I just, I don't know. What do you think about, yeah, him taking Leo? I don't know how much, if you've read a lot from Pope Leo XIII, prolific writer. I think he wrote 85 encyclicals, which is a crazy awesome. Or the other Leos, there's been obviously 13 of them up to this point. Some of them were pretty darn fire. Pope Leo the First was an animal.
Yeah, facing off against Attila the Hun, and many of them have been martyrs. I think I already heard that the first four might have been martyred.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah, it's I think the name contains a lot within it that we need. And yeah, as far as being Leo the 14th, the following along from Leo the 13th, I can't say I've read maybe as much as you have on, say, like, the kind of the Catholic social teaching, and some of the ideas there. But again, that's almost in the realm right now of, and I'm even admittedly, I think for a learning perspective, I kind of want to take that time to go back there and sort of understand a little bit more. But I do, again, I believe that what we should be called to right now, is prayer for this Pope, and not to, yeah, that's not to say don't go and read things, like I wouldn't advocate for that, especially things that have been pivotal doctrines in the church. But I think that's even one of those things I've already heard a couple of people say, oh, he's going to be a big proponent of Catholic social teaching. Some of that is edges on the boundaries of things that we need to be concerned about.
If they've read actual Catholic social doctrine, then they would know that that's wrong. Just saying.
Now,
But.
and I would be willing to admit that, but again, coming from the perspective of not knowing, I think that's just going to be one of those things where there are people that are already apprehensive about that. But me, I think it'll be an exciting kind of education to sort of move into. And yeah, I mean, just Leo's such an incredible name. Like, yeah, again, there's a lot of girth there. There's a lot of power behind that. And I think that's what we need right now, is
Yeah, that's why I told people I want it. I was hoping he would take Leo, like this next pope, because I love Leo the 13th, and I think his writings on Catholic. I mean, Leo the 13th is really the father and the founder of, as we understand, Catholic social doctrine. And people hear that phrase, Catholic social teaching, Catholic social doctrine, and they just, a lot of them, I'm not saying all, whether you're in the church or out of the church, they hear that phrase, and what does their mind do? Catholic socialism. And that is not what it is. It is not Catholic socialism. It is to see the dignity of the human person and how we must influence the culture and society in a way that also comes to see the dignity of the human person and bestows to them the rights in accordance of justice because of their inherent dignity. Like, that's the core of it. And why is the world getting ripped apart? Because we see no dignity in the human person, no inherent value. And just was watching a show before this, which is a secular sci-fi show, but a character says, like, the death of truth is the ultimate victory of evil. Like that, and that's their goal. And that's exactly, like, the death. And what is the death of the truth? To me, the greatest death of truth that we faced is a misunderstanding of who the human person is. So Catholic social doctrine seeks that. It seeks to return that. It's really actually tied to anthropology, Catholic anthropology. So That's why I'm super excited. I think that's the move we need to make. It's not socialism, people. Go read Rerum Novarum. Go read. I think Ubi Ad Carnem is also by Pope Leo. Just like go read some of these things. And come back after reading 85 of them and tell me otherwise, you know. When people, honestly, I was part of that bandwagon of people who would say things about encyclicals and not having read them. I was like, people would talk about Laudato Si by Pope Francis, and I'd be like, oh yeah, that's kind of like a, ugh, you know, it's uber environmental or da da da. I actually had to read it. It's fantastic. It's super good. When he talks about the sacramentality of creation, we did an episode on this already, but when he talks about the sacramentality of creation, it's wild. It's so cool that he, like, creation, God created certain things for the sake of them to become sacraments. God created water so it could have the power for baptism. God created the earth so it could grow the vines. God created grapes. God created wheat so that it could become the Eucharist. Like, that's. He had the sacraments in mind from the moment of creation. Like, I had never read anything like that until Laudato Si. So, just saying, people, if you don't read, don't talk.
Well, and then the other thing too is, and I know I mentioned this to you too, Brother Francisco, and I think it was Father Mitch Pacwa, talking about that specific thing, that there are many people who, and to be fair, you know, and I would say I've fallen into this bucket too. We really like our stuff by and large in bite-sized chunks, and so we're often fairly willing to take somebody else's, you know, Reddit interpretation of something. Or a YouTube video, some podcasters who throw a couple quotes out there, kind of give you the general feel that they've read it and they understand it, and then you take their opinion as kind of the interpretation that you seek to subscribe to. Or maybe you do read some excerpts of it, but you don't really go too deep into it. And he was referencing it like many people don't read the footnotes, and a lot of people, you know, with Pope Francis, among others, you know, kind of like him, have a tendency to sort of either read either bite-sized things, or even when they go to the sources, just kind of assume that it's sort of all like, well, this is just this individual's perspective. And, you know, just remembering that a lot of those footnotes, not one minute, buddy. You know, they're coming from scripture. They're coming from St. Thomas Aquinas. They're coming from his predecessors, you know, Pope Benedict, Saint John Paul the Great, you know. So just keeping in mind again with those criticisms of, you know, papal encyclicals among other things, that it's just another. Not right now, buddy. We're gonna wait here right now because there's nobody here right now, buddy.
No, I think mommy's here.
Not quite yet. It's just a continuation of the church's teaching, just through a new voice. Through a voice of a new shepherd. Familiar words, new voice. She's not right now, but so
Well,
we might
I
need to do a
think,
little wrap up.
yeah, no, I'm sensing that a child's intuition reflects how everyone feels. So he's bored, everyone else is getting bored. So, Philip, you don't have to see. You can trust your dad that he actually knows, and your mom's not back. So,
Mommy's not here right quite yet, but
but we're gonna be done anyways. So, anyways, do you have anything to add, Phil? Do you have anything you wanted to say? Anything about the new pope or any prayers?
what should we do for the new pope? We should pray for him.
Pray.
Amen.
Well, you heard it from a 4-year-old, so if you
Yep.
don't do it, then you're like
Out of the
kind of a
mouths of
terrible human
babes.
person. So yeah, continue to pray. We prayed 9 days in anticipation. We should also pray 9 days
Nine
Thanksgiving. So I'm super excited because 2 weeks I'll be ordained a deacon. And I'll be one of the first deacons ordained under the papacy of Pope Leo. So that's kind of a cool thing to say.
We get a thumbs up from us,
So,
Uncle Sam.
well, yeah, not, you know, we just wanted to share a little bit about that. What are your guys' thoughts on Pope Leo? Let's have positive comments, please. Yeah, you excited? What are you excited for? What do you think it's going to be like to have a new Leo in the church, new lion? Yeah, and what is a specific prayer that we could add about, for him? Certainly, he's got a target on his back now, right? Jesus promised to Peter that the gates of hell wouldn't triumph. Well, that means that the gates of hell are going to try, though. So, yeah, let's pray for him. So,
Amen. All
sweet.
right.
All right, well, signing off from another episode of All Good in the Brotherhood. I'm Brother Francisco. That's Tom, and that is Philip. Yeah, Phil, maybe next time we'll have to get you on a full podcast.
Yeah, not in your
Maybe
jammies this
you
time.
can share some of your stuff from school. That'd be kind of fun, huh?
Oh, yeah, we should hear about some of your Montessori school, right?
Yeah.
That'd be
All
cool.
right.
All right.
Say peace out, everybody.
Peace out.
Peace out. All right. Bye, guys.
Take care. Bye.